Radio Prague News.
A former prime ministerial aide has received a suspended sentence for abuse of classified information. Milos Zeman's spokesman has hinted he'll announce plans to run again for the presidency in March. And a new film about politician Jan Masaryk will take part in the main competition in the Berlin International Film Festival. The Prague Municipal Court has given Jana Nečasová, a former chief prime ministerial aide, an 18-month suspended sentence for abusing classified information from the BIS Domestic Intelligence Service. The court handed a 9-month suspended sentence to influential businessman Ivo Rittig, who was accused of receiving information that the BIS was looking into his activities from Mrs. Nečasová. Mr. Rittig's lawyer, David Michal, received the same punishment as him, while another defendant was found innocent. Jana Nečasová's arrest in 2013 helped bring down the government of the Prime Minister, Petr Nečas, whom she later married. Milos Zeman may announce his decision to run for a second term as Czech president in March, parliamentary listy.cz has reported. Mr. Zeman's spokesman, Jiří Ovčáček, told the website that his office was at present planning a major news conference for the president on the 10th of March, 2 days after the fourth anniversary of his inauguration in 2013. Mr. Zeman has been hinting for some time that he would make an announcement, and people around him have been suggesting in recent months that he would stand again, the news website Lidovky.cz said. The next two-round presidential elections are set to take place in January next year. MP Pavlina Nitrova quit the Social Democrats in mid-December, she announced on Tuesday. The politician said she no longer wanted to be a member of a party that she categorised as being corrupt at all levels. Ms. Nitrova is known for suggesting during a lower house debate on registered partnerships that homosexuals would attempt to legalise sex with children. She will remain in the Chamber of Deputies until the end of its current term later this year. A new Czech biopic of politician Jan Masaryk has been accepted for the main competition in the Berlin International Film Festival. Masaryk, helmed by director Julius Shevchik and starring well-known actor Karel Rodin, focuses on one period in the life of Masaryk, who was the son of Czechoslovakia's founder, served as the country's Minister of Foreign Affairs, and is believed by many to have been killed by the communists in 1948. Czechs borrowed a record amount in mortgage loans last year, ihned.cz reported on Tuesday. The news website said market leader Hypoteční banka had estimated the total volume of such borrowings for 2016 at 225 billion crowns. That's an increase of 22% on the previous year. The weather, there should be clear spells and snow in some parts of the country on Wednesday, with temperatures expected to reach a maximum of minus 5 degrees Celsius. A daytime high of 2 degrees Celsius and cloudy conditions are due on Thursday. My name is Ian Willoughby and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech arms trade sees boom business. British ponies are heading for a formerly military exercise area in South Moravia, and we look at sustainable living in the Czech Republic. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Although the official numbers will only be released by the Ministry of Industry and Trade in several months' time, all indications are that 2016 was a very good year for the Czech arms industry. The Financial Daily E15 reported that exports will now have gone up for 4 straight years, in part influenced by the sale and lease of Czech L-159 fighter jets. Jan Velinger spoke to Jiri Hinek, the head of the Defence and Security Association of the Czech Republic, asking him first about the industry's export profile.
L-159 is very important for us, but it's about 15% of the total amount of the last year export. About 60% of our export is in the field of the air production, 30% is in the field of the vehicles, and the rest is rifles, ammunition, electronic systems, no one of this the most important of the product. We need every type of the product for our export.
Czech firms generally have a pretty good reputation, don't they, when it comes to areas of defense, security, firearms manufacture?
The reputation of our products is very important for our export. On the other side, the opportunity for us is the situation of all the world, the situation in the field of the security. Security in the world rapidly going down, and everybody is afraid of the enemies, of the terrorism, etc. But we cannot achieve the good export without the good quality, good reputation, and the hard work on the good products.
Are there any specific manufacturers or any specific products that we could mention which would kind of highlight the situation?
Our flagship is the passive surveillance system from the ERA company. It's not the big amount of our export, but it's very important because it's very sophisticated system which can be detected. Now it's very important that Aero Vorochody prepared for next year the new product L39NG. It means new generation. The production of the Česká zbrojovka, especially rifles and pistols and military machine gun, it's very important for us too.
These products are for export. 10-30% goes to EU or NATO countries. How much does the U.S. market represent?
The U.S. market in the 2015 was very important for us. It's the second place for our industry. We hope that in 2016 will be the first place, because I believe that our products is very interesting for the U.S. defense market, because we have a good quality and a good price.
Jiří Hynek there on the ever-growing prospects of the arms makers and sellers. Now, to a totally different area, 11 Exmo ponies from Great Britain should soon be grazing on the meadows of the National Park of Podii in South Moravia. The horses will be shipped to the country in April as part of the Military Life for Nature project, which aims to protect and maintain valuable plants and species at former military areas across the Czech Republic. Ruth Frankova reports.
Exmoor ponies, a horse breed native to the British Isles, are probably the closest relatives of the extinct wild horse, which used to graze the steppes along the Deer River some 2,000 years ago. Two herds of Exmoor ponies have already been successfully reintroduced at another location in the Czech Republic, a former military base in Milovice, just 30 kilometres northeast of Prague. I asked Miroslav Jirku of the Czech Academy of Sciences why they decided to carry on with the project.
The main reason to introduce natural grazing of Exmoor ponies in Podii National Park is maintenance or management of very precious and biodiverse non-forest habitats such as meadows and steppe ecosystems. This pilot project in Milovice that involves natural grazing of large herbivorous animals was very successful. It was kind of proof of concept in Czech conditions, and because of its success, we decided to extend our activities to new locations.
The project, initiated by the organization Česká krajina or Czech Landscape along with the Czech Academy of Sciences, aims to gradually introduce the horses into the Czech landscape and to improve biodiversity among local plants by letting the horses graze on the aggressive and evasive grasses. Since their introduction 2 years ago, the Exmoor ponies turned to be very effective in this respect. Along with a group of European bison, which were also released in the area, they managed to turn the former military base into a patch of wilderness. Just like Milovice, Miroslav Jirku says the National Park in Podii presents a very valuable landscape with a large number of endangered and rare animals and plants.
The area of South Moravia in general is very interesting because it is the most northerly part of the Pannonian steppe realm, which differs in its fauna and flora from much of the rest of Europe. The two locations are very important because of very diverse meadow communities at the other plants. There are plenty of plants such as orchids, which occur here in many species. There are higher tens of butterfly species. There are also very interesting species of reptiles, which are very rare in Central Europe, such as green lizard or Esculapian snake, and many, many others.
Two groups of six horses are set to arrive in the Bodie National Park in April to maintain an area of approximately 70 hectares. Meanwhile, Czech scientists and conservationists are already considering other locations in the Czech Republic which would be suitable for the reintroduction of the wild horse.
Ruud Frankova there on that interesting landscape project. Now it's time for In Focus, and we stay with Ruth, who this week looks at Czech pioneers who are trying to promote the concept of self-sustainable housing.
With environmental issues becoming more prominent, the off-grid movement, where dwellings, for example, are reliant on their own sources of power and water, has been gaining more and more support and interest around the world. A new project called Český ostrovní dům, or Czech Island House, seeks to raise awareness of self-sustainable living in the Czech Republic. 12 months ago, they launched a competition for architecture students, asking them to create their own project for an off-grid building. And just recently, they have announced its first winners. I met with Pavel Podruh, the man behind the project, and asked him to outline its main idea.
We're trying to accelerate the rate of usage of cleaner technologies in housing and construction. So we are not a construction company per se. Our main focus is actually communication. So by executing a small number of off-grid buildings, we just kind of want to use the fact that we are building them as a communication tool to spread the idea into the general public. So basically the project is a communication project evolved around the idea of how to build more sustainable buildings, constructions. It's really about the small steps. There is no perfect solution at this point, and there will never be. You know, there's always just a semi step, and that's what we are trying to do the small step towards a better future.
Can you explain to our listeners the concept of off-grid houses?
Basically, off-grid building is, like the name says, it's really off any engineering grid. So basically, the buildings can function autonomously, and basically they source their energy from solar power. They store it in batteries. I'm just speaking in very general terms. And so this way, you know, if they are built cleverly, they don't really need to be connected to any type of grid. With water, we have the same thing. Either you source your water from well, but also you store your rainwater and use it a lot in your household to actually limit the usage of drinking water in the household. Because, you know, it's always funny to think about that we are flushing our toilets with drinking water, which, you know, I think it's fairly excessive, given that, you know, the levels of drinking water are decreasing all over the world. So it's a building that doesn't need almost any outside help to function. By building off-grid houses that can be self-sustainable, we will actually learn some of the techniques that we can use in the mainstream construction.
I understand that it is about self-sustainability and about reducing costs, mm-hmm. and reducing our consumption. But what about the cost of such houses?
Mm-hmm. There are two things. Of course, at this point, to build a normal house that's just off-grid, you need advanced technologies. They cost something. They are more expensive. We were calculating about 20% more expensive than usual house. But if you think about how electric cars evolved in last years, you started out with few geeks, basically, that were, you know, into electric cars, but there was no demand at all. But then Elon Musk or Tesla came and, you know, wrapped this notion into a very beautiful car. In the beginning, the car was really expensive, but the coolness of the product actually created a huge demand, and this demand pushes on the big guys. And so suddenly Volkswagen and Ford and all the big guys are developing their own cheaper electric cars. So by this, actually, Tesla accelerated transition towards electric cars. So, you know, to a degree, we are trying to do the same. We are starting out as a pretty expensive, exclusive product, but by communicating it, we are trying to push on the rest of the market to come up with cheaper solutions. And by this, you know, I believe the market can shift to a degree.
Getting back to your project, you launched a competition focused on university students, you asked them to make their own project of an off-grid house. What was the response of the university and how big was the interest of the students?
Yeah, we launched this competition at the Czech Technical University. I just came there 12 months ago. A crazy guy came there, you know, with an idea of let's make students think about off-grid buildings. And actually, it surprised me how excited the leadership of the university was. And so we launched the competition together. And the first year, we got like 80 students. So yeah, it surprised everyone in the project how many students were interested, how many projects we received, and actually how good the projects were. We have also a team of professionals to make it real. And the professionals were saying, all of them were saying, like, this is a very high level of expertise put into the student presentations. So the first year of our project was a really big surprise from this perspective.
Did the students work on the projects entirely on their own, or did they have a chance to discuss some things with the experts that you mentioned?
Through the year, we had several workshops for the students. So we are trying to work with the best professionals in the respective fields in Czech Republic. And so we just kind of put together a few workshops, and the students could consult their works with the professionals.
One of the most important things about the project for those who are taking part in it is that the winning projects will actually be built.
Actually, that was the initial idea, but then we have a land, and the land has some regulations from the government. So basically, none of the student projects is going to be built, but we picked the best students and put them into a team that is actually creating a completely new building that is regulated basically by the government. And it's actually built for the land that we own. And so in spring 2018, these student projects will start to be built on this land, because, you know, without an actual building, the whole project would be just talking. So that's a vital part of the project.
What will happen with the house once it is built?
We are building basically two off-grid apartments, but separate, two separate buildings on one piece of land. And we will be running them as a tryout. So you want to see how off-grid building works, you know, just come. It's really cheap, you know, and it's also in a very beautiful piece of land, close to Šumava range, so it could be good for family vacation. So just try out and see. It's not that different from what you're used to.
Where did you actually find inspiration? Is there any country in particular that's really developed in this area of off-grid building?
Yeah, there are hubs of expertise all over the world. They're popping up every day. It really makes me happy to see we are part of a movement that's getting momentum. So I wouldn't say there is one place that I really look up to. Of course, United States are highly developed in this respect, but also Northern Europe is really good. It's really all over the world. I don't think there is one place, but we kind of share a basic idea.
As far as I know, you yourself are not an architect. What was your motivation? How did you get involved in this project?
Yeah, well, if you want to buy an off-grid house right now, it's a matter of your way of thinking. It's more about what your ideals are. And I just wanted to build myself a house, and I just felt that, you know, I want to feel good about my house. And it was surprising for me that there was really no one on the Czech market that could fulfill my demand for that. And so it just kind of naturally went from needing to creating. And at the moment I started, I just kind of felt support from everywhere I went. It's like people were saying, man, I want this too. And so I kind of started to feel, you know, my expertise could be used in a useful way somehow. And so it stopped to be my house and it started to be the project called Czech Off-Grid Houses.
So what is the future of the project Czech Off-Grid Houses?
Well, every year we'll be running the university student competition. We get more schools, so we have Czech Technical University this year. We have a Technical University in Brno. We have Liberec University, hopefully. And each year we will have a slightly different topic. So last year it was two apartment, small buildings. This year we will have a normal family house. Next year we'll see. But the topic will always be around off-grid, or in the future we will also think about active. Active means that you're able to support your household with almost everything, but you have more than you need, so you share it. I believe if there is a certain future, I think it's active. You know, sharing, if you have more electricity than you need, you actually use the grid to share it with the rest of the people. It kind of makes sense to do this. So the off-grid buildings is only a start of, I believe, something bigger that goes towards a sharing society and an active buildings, I hope.
Pavel Podruch there on how he's led the way in trying to promote sustainable island housing. And that's just about all from us today. You can find us on the internet at www.radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter if you'd like to communicate with us. From me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much for listening and goodbye.